You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Lori Owens, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And one of the biggest opportunities in dentistry, hottest topics ever that we've ever seen, we're going to be talking about today, which is medical billing. And you're going to want to know why. Do not miss this with one of our resident experts, Lori Owens. This is going to be one of your favorite shows if you're involved, and she's going to talk about the encounter form, which is, I mean, I'm learning about this all the time, so do not miss this. So grab a pen and hit the share button. Now, a couple things. We are shooting this show live on Facebook, so as you're watching, if you have questions, add them to the feed, and I'll ask Lori while she's on live, and we'll get the answer straight from her, because you're going to see how important this information is. And then also, as you're watching this, if you're watching it later on, please continue to add questions to the feed. Lori is a hyper responder. I mean, you're one of the best responders there are. You ask the best questions. You're great at getting back to people. So, because we want you to get the most out of this as you're watching this. So, and then also the suggestions for shows are still coming in, which are awesome. Keep doing that. Right now, we're up over 39,000 followers on Facebook. Thank you so much for all your shares and suggestions. And over 150,000 of you have found us on iTunes. So thank you again for all of that. And we're just crazy grateful. My guest today is Lori Owens. And Lori, you've been a great friend of ours, a great educator. You are just one of those resources we desperately need in dentistry. And again, it's one of the hottest topics that's on the horizon. Now, before we get started, I just want you to share with people who you are and what it is that you do, and then we're going to talk about the why. So if people don't know who Lori Owens is, tell us who Lori Owens is.
Okay. I am the Medical Billing Education Director for Imagine Solutions, and I'm also the medical biller for Dr. Robert Gottlieb and Dr. Michael Cohen in Seattle. I started medical billing over a dozen years ago, learning it all by myself because there wasn't anyone available to help me, and have been very successful through the practice in doing so. So my goal is to teach other offices that it can be done. It is profitable. It is a huge marketing tool like you'd never know before. Every week we get calls. I heard you bill medical. We want you to bill medical like you did for our friend. And so every week it's always an adventure, and that's the great thing. And so we are here to help you, to let you know it can be done, and to help your patients get healthier faster.
Yeah, and today we're going to be talking about the little procedures that make a big difference, but I want to talk about why this is so important first, because is it safe to say that dental codes will disappear in the future? It'll pretty much be medical codes. Is it safe to say that, and is it also safe to say that you're helping private care fee-for-service clinicians get larger reimbursements for patients through medical insurance that they would otherwise not get through dental insurance? Is it fair to say both of those?
Absolutely. I would say in about 5 years, this idea of dental insurance is going to go away. I think it's somehow going to get incorporated into the medical policies. And the only way to get reimbursement is going to be through medical. And so it's only a matter of time that you have to learn code. It's already on your dental claim form. So if they already have it on the dental claim form, what makes you think it's not going to be enacted and supported in the next couple years? It's been there since 2012. So you're going to have to know these codes, whether you like it or not. We're trying to get you above the curve so that you're not shocked by it. And it makes sense to you. All they want you to do is tell the story with a number. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. That's all you're doing. It's the same procedure code. It's just the diagnosis is telling a story with numbers.
Right.
Basically it.
And that's key. I mean, this isn't hugely complex, but if you can tell the story through codes, you're going to find that you can often get reimbursed for these procedures. And today we're going to be talking about the encounter form. So, and I'm just going to encourage you to do this. We're going to do this show a little bit differently. So if you're watching this on Facebook, please go to the link right now that's in the show and download the form, because you're going to be looking at the same form that I'm looking at. And Lori has created all these great simple solutions. These are basically just checklists that you can use right away. And we're going to be going through it today as we talk about this on the show. But Lori, tell us what the encounter form is. What is it that I'm downloading?
So what you're downloading is a restorative and caries encounter form. We're trying to show you that these little procedures that we think are little are huge. They are preventative. You're looking at something that could essentially stop someone from having to encounter a huge procedure later down the road. So if we can stop this when it starts, in other words, somebody who has caries or needs a crown, that disease that is creating that situation, what if we build it to medical? Mm-hmm. What if we explored a new option of reimbursement? How much better would our patients be down the road if we utilize the little things and build the caries, build the scaling and root planing, build the crowns? If someone has a severe xerostomia, they're going to have caries. It's a matter of time. So why not use the little problems that will create a big benefit down the road?
Right.
Instead of going the other way. Last time we spoke about these big cases, which is great and it's necessary. But what about the little ones? Could we be preventing those big cases by exploring a new avenue on these little ones? And that's the goal, is that you can see we have offices all over the United States, general dentists, getting paid for caries, getting paid for crowns from medical, because they're being done for medical cause.
Right.
And that's the goal of the encounter form, is so that when you see your patient, you'll have at the beginning an initial exam. You're just checking what you do at your initial exam, whether it be an ICAT, whether it be an FMX, a PANO, whatever it is. What if you do oral cancer screening with the Velscope or the Visalite? Wouldn't you want to know that that stuff is all covered by medical?
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I were talking about, this is really about screening, not diagnosing, which you're doing anyway, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So don't be overwhelmed with, this is a diagnostic thing. What we're talking about today is really just screening, and describe that. Like, I want us to all be on the same page before we go into the details.
So what you're doing is you're screening for, when you use the Velscope or Visalite, you're screening for oral cancer. When you use the A1C monitor and you're checking their A1C numbers, you're screening for diabetes. You are not telling the patient they are diabetic. You are screening them for the possibility that their numbers would be in a higher level, that you would want them to be checked out more thoroughly by their physician. In other words, would you want to do surgery on someone that has an A1C of 13 and didn't know it?
No, absolutely.
That's dangerous.
Right. Now, you can buy an A1C, a professional series kit you shared with me. It's $167 on Amazon. You get 20 kits, and go through the math on that, because that was really powerful.
So if you charge $25 for each test, there are 20 tests in each kit, you paid $167 for, you'd make $500 off of that one kit. And so you're talking about $167, now you have an ROI of $500. So you've got a $333 benefit. But beyond that, you could save somebody's life. Right. Whenever I go to an office to do an on-site training or whenever I do a two-day course, I take an A1C kit and whoever wants to test can do this test. We've actually had two in the last 3 months that had A1Cs over 8.
Yeah, you had somebody at 8.7.
Yes.
Those are pre-diabetic symptoms, uh-huh. Right?
And now she's seeing an endocrinologist for pre-diabetes, you know, going through making sure her diet's controlled and better. But get this, she had no symptoms, no diabetic symptoms. She had no idea her A1C was at that high of a level. Mm-hmm. That's our goal, is to catch those that are not, that really don't even know what an A1C is. Not to mention the fact that this girl had no family history of diabetes.
Right.
No family history. She had no symptoms. And yet she was at an 8.7.
Right.
And she was so thankful, even though she was scared at first, she was so thankful that she actually did do that test. And you're talking $25. Would you want to know, and with $25, where you are, if you're in the good zone or if you're in the I need to be checked out zone?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. And let's go to the big picture on this. You know, I've always said there are people that fix teeth and there are people that change lives. Changing the lives of people that you serve is where the opportunity exists. And it really comes down with knowing what this is all about and the opportunity here and creating a standard of care within your practice that you're seeing a bigger picture for patients. Because some people might look at this as a financial opportunity, but that's too myopic. This is really where the future of dentistry is going. That it's a more of a holistic, you know, we're here to help you long term and improve the quality of your life. So now, talking about A1Cs, but let's talk about a couple other screening options that are important that the GPs already do. And my gosh, I have so many questions. This really starts at the GP level, not the specialist. So can you explain that too?
The whole thing is if we can, if GPs would realize how huge of a part they play in their patients' overall care, whether it be preventative or whether it be diagnostic, it is beyond huge. They play such a large role in this screening side. They don't even know the impact that they have with their patients. It's huge. They make an impression from even before they would see a specialist if they needed one. But this screening tool is beyond what I could ever think of as a help to your patients. So we encourage people to have their business card and on the back of it, put the patient's name, put the date, put their A1C number, their blood pressure, as well as their pulse. Give it to your patients. Now they also say, well, I went to go see my oral physician and they said I had an A1C of this, but I don't remember what that number is. Now they can give them the card and say, this is who I see. And this is what they determined on this date. It was this number. And they might not even know what the number is or means, but their doctor will. So now you've got this collaboration between the GP and their medical doctor that is a relationship that doctor is going to say, this guy is really looking out for my people. I'm sending people to them. And it's a relationship that we have all over the United States with people that we train on medical billing that they've realized that it goes both ways. Yeah. You send people there, they send people to you. You're going to get a lot more people from your medical doctors than you are from almost any other place. Right. And so why not create that relationship by doing this screening and having them have the understanding of how important the blood pressure is, how important what their pulse rate is, because the pulse rate is actually the key determiner before the blood pressure starts to rise. So if you have a high pulse rate, eventually your blood pressure is going to catch up to that. Mm-hmm. And that can make it to where it's a bad scenario. If your pulse runs in the 90s, that's something you want to go see your doc. If you're relaxed and you're in the 90s, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
There's something that you want to go get checked out. So that is the key, starting as a preventative service. And, you know, we talked about when we spoke earlier about xerostomia and how that affects the oral cavity. And that's where our general dentist and even anybody in within the patient's care should be looking at what medications are they taking. Ask questions. If you see someone taking metformin and they did not click diabetes, ask them.
Right.
You need to know why they're taking it.
Right, because with xerostomia, you can show cause and effect, dry mouth through the medications and the implications on their health long term. It's directly related to their overall dental health. Everybody knows that. Yes. And I mean, I don't even know the statistics on this, but how many patients come into a dental office and they do experience dry mouth? And you can see the relationship in that. And again, I can't stop pointing back to the big picture here, which is so many dentists are looking for a way to differentiate themselves, to create a bigger impact in their patient's life, to provide better care, to get outside of PPOs. And people are going to watch this and some people are just going to discard it. But there's going to be a few that go, oh my goodness, this is like an incredible opportunity for me to provide better care and to do that outside. And it's huge in its impact. Now, you also said, you know, with xerostomia, you can ask them about drinking water. Do their lips get chapped? Like, these are things that you're already doing, right?
Absolutely. Okay. It's posing the questions to them a little bit differently. Having the knowledge of what does xerostomia do? If you say to the patient, can you go an hour without taking a sip of water? Not that you guzzle a gallon of water. But most people with xerostomia cannot go an hour without taking a sip of something. Mm-hmm. It is a known fact. They either coffee, water, they're going to have to drink something just to be able to keep the moisture in their mouth. That is a known thing. There's no other way around it. So what if you were to pose that question to people that you know are taking medication?
Mm-hmm.
It would be a huge say. I mean, if you don't drink water, do you know that you have more rampant decay? Because you have nothing to flush out the bacteria that's creating on the teeth. So now you've got a couple of things that you're looking at. You're asking these questions. You're finding out they have to have water. They have to have something to drink within the hour. Their lips get chapped on a frequent basis. So now you've got more things to build upon to build your medical case to say, hey, we need to do 5 surfaces of caries because this person has severe xerostomia because they're taking, they're on inhalers. And inhaler is going to create a lot of dry mouth too. So now we're going to have to do these, but we're only doing it because this patient is on an inhaler. And so now the medical is going to say, you're right. They're on an inhaler. It's creating this dry mouth. It has all these caries, 5 points in the posterior. That doesn't happen on a normal basis. You can't get 5 points. If you see your dentist regularly, you're not going to get 5 points of caries in a 6-month period.
Yeah, and the opportunity is just tremendous in this. Now, I want everybody, like I said from the beginning, if you can, please download the encounter form. Take us through another scenario when we talk about little procedures that make a big difference. Uh-huh. So show us how to use this because this is brilliant.
So basically, you'll see yes or no's, or no check marks by your exam. So the exam, you're going to say, was it a level 2 or level 3? Were we with there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes? What did we do? Did we do a CBCT? Did we do an FMX? And you just circle which one of those. And if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. Check no. Going through to the caries susceptibility test. Did you do one of those? Did you do the oral cancer screening using the Visalite or Velscope? The A1C testing, the pH testing. Believe it or not, most GPs know pH can play a huge role in the caries susceptibility in your mouth. So if you do a test, which again, I got my box off of Amazon and it was $10 for 120 strips. So all it is a simple test. You dip it into the spit. You see where their pH is. That's another tool for screening. You've got your diagnostic photos. You've got study models, the oral DNA testing, the candida testing. And, you know, most people think an adjustment to a prosthesis. Oh, we can't bill for that. You absolutely can. It is all a matter of knowing what you're allowed to bill and what you're not. So these are all the things that most general doctors do on a daily basis. I would say at least half of these procedures.
Right. Now, so if you're listening, can I just say one thing, Lori, too? Uh-huh. If you're listening on iTunes, you don't have the privilege of being able to see what we're talking about. But Lori has all of these listed and the CPT codes that are right next to them, which is the key. You need that piece, right? Okay.
Absolutely. And so then you're going to go down to what is the medically necessary treatment? What is the doctor recommending to be done? Whether it be a surgical extraction, a removal of a foreign body. So when they take out caries off of teeth surfaces, they are removing a foreign body. That bacteria was not there normally. And so they call it removal of a foreign body. That's the same with when they take off, when they do scaling and root planing, they're still removing a foreign body off of the root surfaces.
Right.
It's just a different place.
Right. And even pregnancy, talk about pregnancy, because you and I were talking about that. Absolutely. And how it relates to that.
Pregnant patients should be in your office every 3 months, at least every 3 months. And I would say, safe to say, 7 out of 10 really need to have scaling and root planing. Because pregnancy hormones can change the way their body builds up calculus underneath the gum line. And so when you are treating that, you're not treating, that patient doesn't normally do that, but because of the pregnancy hormones, it creates the ability to just build up plaque. And so you need to see them every 3 months and get rid of that bacteria so that these pregnant patients don't pass that on to their unborn children. So you would bill it as your scaling and root planing, removing the foreign body because of a pregnancy related condition. Mm-hmm. So it's a very simple coding. So we would want to make sure you see these. In fact, Dr. Gottlieb's daughter, who's an OBGYN, now she doesn't just recommend, she demands that her patients see the oral physician before they come and see her for the first OB appointment. So it's important.
Again, this is amazing because now you're becoming the ultimate gatekeeper and you're knowledgeable on how all this works.
It's so exciting.
It's crazy really exciting.
And so we just go forward. What about if you do a frenectomy? Frenectomy should always be billed to medical. That's a tongue-tied issue. That has nothing to do with the fact that you're doing a procedure that should be billed to dental. It's the why are you doing it? You're doing it because this patient's mouth doesn't function the normal way, and you need to remove that tissue so that it can now not be a tongue-tied position. So yes, we utilize the laser sometimes with frenectomies. Medical doesn't care. They don't care if it's a laser. They don't care if you have to cut it. Either way is fine with them. They want the best treatment for the patient. So they're not going to say, well, you used a laser, so we're not going to pay for it. And that's what dental sometimes does. They'll say, we're not paying for it if you utilize a laser, whereas medical is all for it.
Yeah.
So doing a frenectomy, they just want to know, is it the labial or is it the lingual? They just want to know what side.
You and I have talked about this before, but can you explain to our viewers why medical will pay and dental won't pay? Because that's a big deal.
Well, if you think about this, most dental providers will not pay for bone. They just won't. It's not a covered benefit. There's a reason. Because dental believes anything bone related is medical. Anything bone related. So that's why no bone procedures, I would say one insurance company that I know of that pays for bone. So in that, you have how many 99 others that won't because they do believe it's a medical issue. So why would the medical not come in and take that place and say, we just want to know why you're doing this bone and what the severity is that of what you're treating. Is it mild, moderate, or severe atrophy that you're trying to replace? Even taking a tooth out, you're still bone grafting that site because now there's a hole in that bone. And everybody knows when you have a hole in the bone, you create more instability for their surrounding teeth. So even medical insurance knows that it's a benefit because you're giving now that ridge more stability. And that's all they want to know is what is the severity? And that even goes further to the caries. So if you look on that backside, you'll see it talks about all they want to know is where did you do it on that tooth? So if you look on that upper left, it says dental caries, smooth surface, and it says limited to the enamel.
Which is KO2.61. Now, a team member can do this, correct? Absolutely. You don't need to be the dentist, okay?
Right. They're just checking off what the doctor says. So the doctor says, we've got a smooth surface. It's limited to the enamel. We've got maybe you go to the next one, and now we're looking at the smooth surface penetrating into the dentin. So that's what medical wants to know. They just want to know where you're doing it at. Is it going all the way through to the pulp? Is it only limited to the enamel? How far is it actually going? That's It's pretty simple when you realize that it's already coded so that they can know exactly where you did that caries removal.
Mm-hmm.
We make it harder than it really is.
Right.
So I were telling the story, so say, for instance, you had Sjögren's disease, which causes a lot of xerostomia. I would say we did a removal of the foreign body. That's our procedure. Why did we do it? We went to the caries. They had dental caries going limited to the enamel because of dry mouth due to Sjögren's disease. That's my story.
And now you're building a story with codes. Can you speak to the modifier section at the bottom? Give me some perspective on that.
So say, for instance, you're doing scaling and root planing on a pregnant person, and it's limited to the scaling and root planing for pregnancy. I would use modifier 33 to say, hey, this is a preventative care. We are preventing this bacteria from going through the mother's system into the baby. That is absolutely preventative care. So you've got a lot of access and opportunities to help on the little things so that they don't create into the big things.
Yeah.
And if we can stop it, if we can stop it at the little things, how much better is your health of your patient going to be? And what about the longevity and the length of their life? Because now they don't have these big full mouth reconstructions. And there are going to be those that are necessary for big cases. But how about if we look at the little things to make them big helps instead of making them say, oh, you know, we'll just be as proactive as we can. Let's be more comprehensive and say, hey, let's look at what the medical will provide for a coverage for you.
Yeah.
It could change your whole practice.
Oh, we will change your whole practice. And again, it's the opportunity. So again, I always like to walk through a scenario, but Lori, can you take that exact scenario that you were discussing, which is a removal of foreign body, the xerostomia and the modifier, the preventive service, and then just give me some perspective if I'm a dentist, how I would have a team member, and then also talk about the submission process, because it's not like you're going to submit this and everyone's going, that's awesome. Thank you so much. You've got to be pretty persistent. Don't you? Well, and they're never going to say yes in the first submission, are they? Or
they could.
Okay.
To say they won't, but that's you have to also go by age. So say, for instance, you're a 30-year-old and you have Sjögren's disease. Would you think that your medical would want to pay for it when you're 30 to be preventative so that when you're 50, they don't have to pay for a full mouth reconstruction?
Right, because I heard you say this earlier. They're trying to keep you out of the hospital in the emergency room, right?
Yes. So, Okay. Yes, they might pay on the first shot because they, number one, already know you have Sjögren's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they already know that it causes severe dry mouth. So they've already got those two things in their file on you. Now you're just telling them that you had a caries removal. They already know Sjögren's disease causes caries. So you've got everything that they already know in your file for medical. They can access all of these things to find out, to verify that you are coding it correctly. You've already been diagnosed with Sjögren's. You already have dry mouth because of the Sjögren's. And now you're just removing the foreign body for the caries. Those are all known facts within the medical insurance realm. So I can't say that it wouldn't be paid on the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're 30 years old, they want to do everything possible to keep you healthy, to keep you out of the hospital. That will save them money down the road.
Yeah. Give us some perspective on, submitting and approval. Like, what percentages on the first try?
Well, I have found that it really depends on the insurance company as well. So within a company, you have levels of policies that you can purchase. And that it has is also dependent upon, and people don't read it because they make it so complicated for them to understand what those policies are actually providing as a benefit. The one thing that I always go to is the exclusion page. I always want to see what the exclusion is for that policy. A lot of times it'll say dental procedures are an exclusion except for oral systemic cause, trauma, and injury. So you've got this except for thing. And as long as it says except for oral systemic, you're good. You will have no problem. There are policies that actually write all dental benefits are not payable. If they make it an exclusion, there's nothing you can do to get it paid.
Nothing.
Okay. And it's unfortunate, but it's kind of like the catastrophic policies.
Right.
If you purchase a catastrophic policy, it only covers you for hospital. There's no additional benefits that you're able to get, period. Mm-hmm. It's an open-ended thing. You cannot get benefits where they make it an exclusion. Now, you can get rare disease benefits. So if you have, like we had an amelogenesis imperfecta case, that's a rare disease. It actually happens more frequently than we know of, but it's still considered a rare disease. And so we were able to obtain the benefits on the rare disease clause versus having it be part of their benefits. So we got an exception because of this patient's rare disease. So there are different avenues that you just have to explore. And, you know, I've learned not to write off any case. If somebody says, can you bill my medical? Absolutely. Right. I'm not promising anything. I make sure that our AR is not compromised by the fact that we're billing medical. We have a great 8-year run of 107%, and it's 107% of collections from production. So we don't compromise our AR to satisfy our medical billing. And patients know that, and they're always happy because I would rather underpromise and overdeliver.
Amen. Now, the question, can I just throw some of these questions that I get?
Absolutely.
Okay, Lori, when I'm doing this, can I bill my full fee? Like, or how does that work?
Your fee is your fee.
If it's super high, like, let's say.
Even if it's super high, it doesn't matter. Your fee is your fee. Full fee, they will make any adjustments to what their deductibles are and things like that. Medical doesn't have the same thing that dental does and that you're supposed to bill your UCR. It's your fee is your fee is your fee. You bill your full fee and it needs to be within the realm. And we talked about that yesterday with Dental Intel. Get an analysis of what your fee should be. I told you 9 out of 10 doctors, their fees are way too low. And we're talking about for their zip code, not for the national average. It's for their zip code. Their fees are way too low. And I will say it until I lose breath, check your fees. You have to have a fee analysis in order for you to be competitive. It is the best way for you to know that your fees are in line with what your zip code is. So call Dental Intel, get that fee analysis to know where you should be. Your fee should be your fee. We don't have a different fee for different things at our practice. We bill one fee. I can tell you everybody at our practice knows that fee. They're not going to say, oh, well, I don't know what Lori billed for medical. No, our fee is our fee is our fee. There's not any differentiating between UCR and what our fee is. So bill
right.
your full fee.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, even when we go out and do an analysis of a practice, people aren't even putting in their full fees. They're resisting to bring their fees up. So you can see major complications. And Lori, what you're presenting to us is, if I'm a young dentist watching this, you're blowing my mind right now. Like, I could charge $1,500 a crown and it doesn't matter, because if I can show, you know, if I can do the process the way it's supposed to be done, there's a chance that medical insurance could reimburse my fees at full fee the way I feel is most important to serve my patient.
Absolutely.
And it's a triple win. Everybody wins. Ultimately, the patient wins. You know, you win, and then, you know, medical insurance wins. So,
Right. Because, you know, a long time ago, I would say about a year and a half ago, I said, you can't bill tissue grafts to medical. They won't pay. Mm-hmm. Until I had a patient ask me if I could bill. And of course, you know, my standard saying, of course, I can bill any, I'll bill it. Right. And I seriously told her, you're not going to get paid. Mm-hmm. Medical doesn't pay for tissue grafts. Guess what? They paid. I can't say that anymore. Because it really, number one, she was a young girl. Number two, if they figure that if they can stop bone loss by doing this tissue graft now, they realize how much they could save themselves in the future. And they absolutely were ready to pay for it. And they paid over 80% of that case. So I can't say that medical doesn't pay for soft tissue grafts anymore. I have to say it. You have to go case by case.
Right. And let's just speak to the obvious, the elephant in the room. We know you mentioned dental codes are going to disappear. This is a huge opportunity. How long is this opportunity going to exist? Because I'm sure insurance companies aren't sitting around going, hey, look, we got a lot of money. Let's start giving it back because we feel bad. You know, is this a window that's open for a while or a long time?
It's going to be open forever because, Kurt, remember, there are 80% of emergency room cases are dental related. 80%. So if they're dental related, how much money is the medical insurance spending for them to go to the emergency room versus them to come see you?
That's crazy.
It's huge. And so you're looking at it, you know, we're thinking, why are we able to do this? It's always been available. We've not utilized it because we're of the fear factor. Mm-hmm. We're afraid that if we do this, that no, our goal is to make sure, number one, I would guarantee most of our doctors do really good notes.
Yeah. Now, Marco.
I think they don't.
Yeah. Now, can I just, I got a couple, Marco Brindis, who's amazing. Huh? We had him yesterday and he said 80% ? Can you define that statistic? So, because I'm fascinated by that.
It was a Mayo Clinic survey, Mayo Clinic survey that was done in New York. That they did a percentage of the emergency room patients coming in that were 80% dental related.
How did they put that together? Because I would love to see that.
I'll find the study and I can send it to you so you can have it. But it really was, you know, whether they had an abscess or whether they just had tooth pain, they would give them an antibiotic and a pain medication and send them on their way. That was pretty much what the study concluded. Was that 80% of the emergency room patients from this time to this time, whether it be, I don't know if they did it over a month span, but they did it over a certain span, and they were like, these are dental-related issues. These are ones they can't touch.
Right, and we've been saying this for a while, the three hottest opportunities for fee-for-service dentists in the future, obviously airway is a big one. It's a huge one. Number two is what we're talking about here, the medical coding. And then three has always been the systemic link. So we've got, you know, Bale and Donin. If you haven't seen what the Bale and Donin method is, we just had Dr. Bale out to our master conference. And you should have seen the clinicians in the room. They're like, this is so amazing. Like the opportunity, because Dr. Bale showed significant research and evidence between people's oral health and their arterial health, which we were all like, this is crazy, you know? And
they need to read their book too, because their book is phenomenal.
Bam. It's phenomenal. Absolutely. Now, Marco also asked, Marco, your questions are great. Does that include chronic diseases like airway obstruction?
Absolutely.
Because tell us how.
With airway obstruction, and Dr. Marco would know, they almost always have GERD. I don't know why. I don't know the physiology of that, but I do know that I would say 9 out of 10 of them have GERD because of just the esophagus and how it's functioning. They just have this acid reflux that also precipitates the caries. Mm-hmm. So you've got this combo thing. So airway just is. And most people, I have a thyroid condition. Guess what? I also have GERD. I can't explain how I got it or why I got it, but I do know it exists. And I didn't take my omeprazole one time. I honestly was in the most severe stomach pain I had ever been in my life.
Hmm.
So that showed me that my doctor knew a little bit more than I did.
Right.
So it's a matter of, we just need to trust the doctors that, number one, when they give you the medications, that yes, it causes xerostomia. They have to weigh the benefit to the side effect. Mm-hmm. And they have to weigh, if the benefit outweighs the side effect, they want you to take it. Even mm-hmm. though the side effect might cause the caries, that's not what they're looking at. They're looking at the overall care, that you're going to be a little bit healthier by taking this medication. And that's when the oral cavity comes into play. That's why it's so related, that we can say this is what's caused it because of taking this. Not that it's a bad thing, but that's just a result or side effect of taking that medication.
Yeah. And Marco said, is the pumping force trying to breathe, you know?
Yes.
You know, that acid, that brings the acid up from your stomach.
Exactly. So I hope he would agree that it does. You have this combo effect. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're talking esophagus, digestive problems, it's always going to bring about this acid reflux thing as well. So, you know, how are we asking our patients, do you ever have a stomach pain? Do you ever experience nausea? Things like this can lend towards what your diagnosis is as far as being able to help them on what's going on with this acid.
Yeah. Marco just typed in agree 100%. So,
okay.
So good stuff. Now, Lori, I have so many topics I want to cover with you, but let's go back to the original topic, which is little procedures that make a big difference.
Yes.
Give us some final thoughts on what opportunities in little procedures make a big difference and how we might last use this form that you're giving us.
Well, my number one, and you know this, Kurt, it's very dear to me, is the A1C testing.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got to incorporate this into your practice. When I'm finding people who have no symptoms, that have no family history of having A1Cs of 8.7 and higher, that's when they have no idea. You've got to incorporate this into your practice. Think about yourself. Would you pay $25 to know that your blood sugar is in normal range?
Amen. Yeah.
That is my number one thing. Be diagnostic. Be asking. Figure out what tests you do. And I'm not saying charge them hundreds of dollars, but figure out the best for your practice. Yes, you need to have an ROI on your practice. Absolutely. But you have to start incorporating it. Get business cards with that information on the back so that you can hand your patients a card with what your diagnostic tests show. Yeah. How much better of a collaboration with their medical doctor would you have when they know that you're doing this diagnostic testing? So that would be my number one. You don't have to worry about knowing the codes because they're already here. You're screening for diabetes. You're doing a reagent for a diabetes test. It's very easy. And then number two, make sure you have your patients covered systemically, whether it be preventative for pregnancy patients and you need them in for scaling and root planing to get the bacteria, because you know the study about the stillborn baby and the pregnant lady, that the bacteria that was under her gum line was the same as that was in the umbilical cord. You don't want your patients losing their babies because they have bacteria in the oral cavity.
Yeah. Do you have a link to that study? Because I've heard about that. And
I can send it to you.
Can you?
That'd be great. I have it on my desktop.
All right. And so once she sends them to us, guys, I'll post them to the body of this post. So you guys will actually have a link. You can just look. Because that's it. I want a copy of that study. That's a good one.
Yes, it is. And to me, it breaks my heart. I just had a new granddaughter. And to think that could be a problem that people don't know about is huge. And so we want to treat any pregnant patient every 3 months to make sure that we monitor them and follow the progression of the oral cavity. Just like the OBGYN is going to follow the progression and growth of the baby, we want to make sure the bacteria levels in their oral cavity stay at a minimum. And so that to me is my number two on why this is an important form to use. Getting rid of the bacteria, as well as, you know, you have Sjögren's patients that, number one, there is no cure for Sjögren's disease. It is a disease that is just out there and it just has to be monitored and cared for. Don't let those patients that have severe dry mouth come in on a 6-month recall. They need to be seen every 3 months. Whether you do preventative perio maintenance, let's bill it as preventative perio maintenance. What about your Alzheimer's patients? Preventative perio maintenance. So we want to make sure that we're being as cautious as we can. We're not going over the top because that is the normal care. So I get a lot of all of our Alzheimer's patients, all of our MS patients, people who are with epilepsy, our docs want them in once a month. Anyone in a nursing home, once a month. Why? Because they cannot go in the oral cavity. We are doing prevention by doing perio maintenance. We are preventing them from getting pneumonia. We're preventing them from being in the hospital. And I'm telling you, it works. It works on the medical billing side. It works on the monthly perio maintenance side, keeping them out of a hospital. Yeah. And that's just huge. I love the fact that our doctors are so concerned about the patient, not about what insurance does. That's my job. They tell me that's my job to get the insurance to pay.
Yeah.
And you can. And that's the end all, is that you can get this to pay. It will work for you. There are some little downfalls. We talked about the billing side of it, and we can talk more about that the next time on basically how to bill. How could we build this to medical? What are the steps, and how can we get it done? When I go to an office, I show them how to do it all for free. Mm-hmm. Now, Imagine Solutions has a great platform for billing, but if you want to try it for free, I give you all the resources to try it for free.
You are so good. Yeah,
you've tried it. So I want to be there as a help to you. And the platform that we have is an electronic medical billing for dentistry. So it's all geared towards dentistry. So when you do a demo with Imagine Solutions, we'll show you how you don't have to know all this medical stuff. You can take your dental code and cross code it. We'll tell you what applies to that dental code medically, and then what diagnosis codes you would need that you could choose from. Because we're not going to choose your codes. They're your patients. You know them best. And so that way you can walk through it yourself. And I tell people, I had a person yesterday, well, sign me up for your plan. No, I want you to look at it and see if it will work for your office. Because by me signing you up is going to do nothing. I want you to see that if it works for your office, then you're more comfortable in being able to use it. So that is our goal at Imagine Solutions, that we make sure that it works best for your office. We are there, we help, but we want to make sure that you can see, number one, you can do it, and number two, that it's not hard. It's just a little bit of time out of your day.
We are so crazy grateful because, again, you, with all the cross-coding and all this stuff and just explaining these opportunities, Laura, you are brilliant at making the complex super simple, and I wouldn't even want to attempt to do what you do. And if you're watching this, you know, Lori's been so gracious. She creates systems that all you have to do is download them and use it. I mean, it's a sheet. There's nothing harder than downloading it and saying, hey, look, let's use this sheet. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Also, Lori, you are in the office of Dr. Michael Cohen and Dr. Bob Gottlieb, arguably, not even arguably, two of the top clinicians in the world. So you're not in a low caliber environment. You're in one of the top environments of all the world. And you're helping them. And so I'm just going to encourage you as a listener, if you're struggling with this, or if you see this as an opportunity, reach out to Lori. And Lori, some people are listening on iTunes. For the benefit of the people just listening, can you tell them how to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. My email address is Lori, LAURIE, at Imagine Solutions. And that's IMAGNSOLUTIONS.
Lori, you are the best. Our next episode that we're going to schedule right away is how to bill and take us through some scenarios. Because I want to get a good idea how that all works. So thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I just appreciate this so much. And thank you guys for watching the show. And Marco, thank you for all your questions. Love all the questions. Keep adding them to the feed because we want to make sure that we answer your questions as best we can. If you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, do us a favor. Just hit the share button, share with all your friends so that we can protect this great profession that we love called dentistry. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.